When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
I've eaten a lot of
restaurants. With Bill Moore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out!
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Yo, baby. Yeah, Joe Spadoni in for Monte Hill alongside Sam Lubin. He's filling in for Joe Shasky. It's the morning roast here. We got you for two more hours, and we've been talking a lot of 49ers football. We've been fired up about Brock Purdy, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch. And by the way, the season's not over, folks. We got three more games to go here before we finally can actually talk about extensions and contracts and who you cut, who you don't cut. And we're going to be diving into this matchup this Sunday out in Miami with Danny Hollywood Rabinowitz, who's going to be joining us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Also, shout out to all of us and all of you watching on Twitch, Twitter, or YouTube. We are streaming live on all those platforms, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Sam Lubin, Joe Spadoni here. And we welcome in Danny Hollywood Rabinowitz of our sister station out in Miami, 560 WQAM, co-host of the Joe Rose Show there. Hollywood, how you doing, bro?
Guys, thank you for having me on the show. I certainly appreciate it. You know, it's like traveling back in time. We just finished 4 hours of morning radio here. And it's great to be with you guys.
Real quick, Danny, how did you get the name Hollywood? Because the only Hollywood I know of other in sports is Marquise Hollywood Brown, who's trying to rehab from his chest injury. How did you get the name? And what are you doing on the East Coast if you're Hollywood?
Well, we actually have a Hollywood down here, a Hollywood in Florida. I will tell you, it was a name given to me by Joe when I was trying to work my way up at the station. Thought I was acting a little too big time at the time, and he started calling me that. That probably goes back about 15 years now.
There you go. I love it. I'm going to just call you Hollywood the rest of the way then. Hollywood.
That works.
There you go. This matchup this week, and for a lot of Niners fans, you know, after last week's loss to the Thursday Night Football to the Los Angeles Rams, it's been like, all right, well, our season's basically cooked. Let's move into offseason talk. Let's move into Kyle Shanahan. Let's move into John Lynch. Are we going to pay Brock Purdy? Aren't we? But I'm looking at the rest of this regular season, and there's a lot to play for still when it comes to, one, Brock Purdy. I liken him to what's going on right now with the Miami Dolphins and Tua Tagovailoa. They paid Tua. They've paid Jalen Waddle. They've paid Tyreek Hill. And it really hasn't worked out for the best so far this season and going forward. They got Mike McDaniel, obviously former offensive coordinator with Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. What's kind of the move and the vibe, I should say, when it comes to, you know, Tua, McDaniel? I'm Tyreek Hill's tweeting now, I should get into coaching. He was a DNP. Him and Jalen Waddle, DNP. Terron Armstead, what's going on right now with the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah, you know, you guys, it is funny. You guys do have some of the similar things that we're dealing with, except for the fact that you guys have played in Super Bowls recently, and the Dolphins haven't won a playoff game in 24 years since the year 2000. So it's a little bit of a different situation down here. And I will tell you, fans have had enough. It's just things have snowballed once again for this team. This season went a little different than last year. Obviously, the Dolphins were the best offense in football through most of the season last year, and then they ran into some good teams, they ran into some cold weather, and they folded. And there was a lot of hope coming into this season after giving out those big contracts you just talked about that, you know, maybe they'd find a way to get over the hump. And unfortunately, it's looked significantly worse this year. They did lose some players, some good players in free agency. You obviously can't keep everyone. But, you know, the big issue right now is Chris Greer. He's the general manager here. He did not put together a good team this year. One of his biggest mistakes, one of the biggest flaws on this team was the backup quarterback situation. And they whiffed badly on that, knowing that Tua is very injury prone. And granted, he did get through last season without any of those concussions, and everyone kind of, you know, kind of forgot about it. It was an afterthought after, you know, after that last season, but that obviously popped up again this year. And the backup quarterback situation was a real miss by this organization that cost them some games, certainly. And now it just looks like, you know, offensive line problems have been really rough. And, you know, again, this is a team that is supposed to have an explosive offense. They scored 12 points against Houston. I mean, they just look helpless when they play any sort of playoff caliber team.
Well, this conversation we've been having, Hollywood, in regards to trust level right now, and 49ers fans and their trust level when it comes to John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, Brock Purdy, has kind of been all over the place. I wonder what the trust level right now is with Dolphins fans in Mike McDaniel. Obviously, he burst onto the scene. He's this new young hotshot guy. He's kind of quirky. He wears the glasses. He's kind of molded into that Miami lifestyle, if you will, when it comes to his hair, when it comes to his whole style. But it's cool when you're winning. When you start losing, it becomes, all right, this is kind of annoying. Is this a shtick kind of a thing? What's the temperature from the fan base when you mention one Mike McDaniel?
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. You know, when he came in and things were, you know, looking great, and Tua was launching the ball downfield to Tyreek Hill, and, you know, they were putting up, you know, 30, 40, 50 points against some of these teams. Yeah, it was awesome. It was fun to watch. It was the best Dolphins football we've seen. Again, you know, we don't have a lot in common with you guys with that playoff drought, so it's a little tough to almost, you know, even compare when you talk about the trust level with you know, with GM and coach and stuff. But yeah, I mean, look, there's this narrative now going around with this team that they're soft, right, and that they sort of embody their head coach to an extent. And Mike is known for being a player's coach. He's known for, you know, not being the toughest of them, right? He's not Dan Campbell. He's like the opposite of a Dan Campbell type of guy. So, unfortunately, people believe that this team is just soft, and that's from a physical and, you know, now kind of a mental standpoint as well. And again, any time this team has gone up against a playoff caliber team, they have just completely folded. I mean, they lay eggs against these teams. They went up and played Green Bay and in the cold, and that thing was a mess on Thanksgiving. And then again, last week's game, I think, is a perfect example. I mean, you go up against the Houston team that's essentially like a fringe playoff team, and, you know, there's no weather issues, nothing to complain about in a dome over there. And Tua throws three picks, and bad picks, and the defense kept them in it. That's been kind of the thing with the common theme with all these games. The defense keeps you in it, but the offense just, for whatever reason, cannot figure things out against these good teams. And it's become very, very frustrating for fans down here.
Yeah, Hollywood, I did catch a bit of your guys' show this morning, the Joe Rowe show out there. And you guys started the show off by playing a clip. I guess Mike McDaniel was asked by one of your reporters out there, basically, do you expect to be back next year? And he gave a long kind of, I'll call it kind of generic rambling answer. He understands the job. You got to adjust, all that stuff. I'm curious, though, just from where you're standing looking at things, is this a situation, like, do you expect Mike McDaniel to still be on the sideline for the Miami Dolphins next year?
You know, it's really a tough question, to be quite honest with you, because I think the root of the problem here starts at general manager, and Chris Greer has been a common theme with all these bad Dolphins teams. And so I think if someone were to go, it would be him. The issue that I see with firing Mike McDaniel, he and Tua are tied at the hip, right? And that's kind of the deal right now, is you have a quarterback who is completely rehabbed. They were ready to move on. Brian Flores was the coach when Tua came into the league, and he didn't want Tua, and Tua was terrible with him, and it looked like the Dolphins had a massive miss. Now, it still looks like they missed on Tua, to be quite honest with you, but the only issue right now is that you have all those guys we talked about before, massive contracts. I don't know what they can do with the Tyreek Hills of the world, Jalen Waddle, and you know some of these other guys on the offensive side of the ball. But again, you gave two of the largest contracts in franchise history. So there's nothing you can do at this point to move on from that, essentially. So I think as long as Tua's going to be the quarterback, they're going to stick with him. I think you kind of have to stay with Mike McDaniel because, again, Mike is really responsible for Tua in the way that he has played when he's looked good.
Yeah, so we got Danny Hollywood Rabinowitz. He just goes by Hollywood, joining us here on the Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni and Sam Lubman. He is the co-host of the Joe Roast Show on our Odyssey sister station, 560 WQAM, out in Miami. It's a great show. Definitely check it out on that free Odyssey app. Hollywood, you bring up Tua, and I want to pivot there now because here out in the Bay Area, we are staring down the barrel, so to speak, of a big payday for Brock Purdy. And there is a lot of nervousness and apprehension over what that deal will do to the roster in terms of the ability to put talent around Brock. We've seen the Dolphins, they pay to it, and they're still able to get talent around him. But the question I have for you simply is, as we anticipate a big payday coming for Brock Purdy, when you look at the contract that Tua got going and everything and how that's gone since then, is there like a sense of regret of paying Tua all that money? If you could go back in time and stop that deal, do you think a lot of Dolphins fans would do that? Is there just a general kind of regret of giving Tua all of this money, considering all the things that have happened?
Yeah, so look, there were two choices the Dolphins had with Tua's deal. They could have let him play out the fifth-year option and see how things went this year and then signed him to a deal, or they could have signed him during during the off season, which they did. And, look, you can't have your quarterback upset and moping around. And, a lot of the players, they liked Tua a lot. They were going to bat for him, and it became a big topic of conversation. And it's like, do you really want to go into the season with your quarterback unhappy because he doesn't have his contract? When, again, the issue with this Dolphins team is they have built this thing to win now. They built it very poorly, and they didn't do it correctly, but that was the thinking, right? Is that we are trying to win right now. There is certainly going to be no better option than Tua, right? That's going to come along for us. So that's kind of why, we went and gave him the deal that they gave him. And yes, they were able to put some talent around him, but you'll see on Sunday, the offensive line is an utter disaster, right? They can't run the football at all. They have, they have other issues on this team that certainly weren't addressed. And so, yes, I think at the end of the day, like you kind of had to give them the contract, right? And nobody expected this thing to go this poorly. I think there were people that were not sold on Tua, obviously, because of the struggles in the big games going back to last year. But I just think it's tough to go into a season with a quarterback who's upset about his contract when you're in a win now situation, right? The Dolphins were like, this is our window is now. And so that's kind of why they went all in on this thing. And again, it's just been like a massive, massive backfire.
Well, the thing I don't get, Hollywood, and maybe this is unfair to say, because you do have to go all in with something. You brought in McDaniel, and you've seen that him and Tua can do well together. But as they were negotiating that and as they were trying to get them that contract, I was like, you're in the AFC. You've got Burrow. You've got Josh Allen within your own division. You've got Mahomes. You've got just all these quarterbacks. And I'm thinking there's just no chance in hell that Tua is going to beat those guys in the playoffs. This is just me, an outside observer. I understand that you have to pay a quarterback. I understand. Yeah, and the options weren't great. But I'm looking with Brock Purdy. I'm saying, I'm in the NFC, and I know I could beat Jared Goff. That's happened. I know I could beat Jordan Love. I know I could beat Jalen Hurts. Like, so it's one thing to pay Brock Purdy because I know what I'm getting within that conference. It was just tough for me last year thinking about paying Tua all that money because inevitably I just know when push comes to shove, I just don't think they're good enough with him to be a Patrick Mahomes, a Josh Allen, a Lamar Jackson type of squad.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're not, right? I mean, that's and looking at it now, you can obviously say that. But again, it came down to a couple of things. First off, who were you going to get that would be anywhere near that good, right? I mean, you could run around and try to find an aging vet. Look how the Aaron Rodgers thing has worked with the Jets. And that thing has been a bigger disaster than this thing. So, you know, you could have gone and done something like that. The other issue...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
It goes back to this. Look, Chris Greer, the GM, picked Tua. Mike came in here and has worked with Tua, and Tua's his guy. So you have the two most, you know, biggest voices in the franchise that were like, hey, this is our guy. He can get us to where we want to get to. Steven Ross, the owner, is the kind of guy that listens to his football people, and he will pay whatever they ask him to pay. He is known for shelling out money. He's redone everything around the stadium, the practice facility. It's all new stuff, and he is not cheap when it comes to paying guys. But, you know, look, he listened to his football guys, and unfortunately, you had the GM and Chris Greer who drafted Tua and was obviously going to, you know, put it on the line for him. And you have a coach that is, you know, has rehabbed him, and Tua's his guy. So, again, you have two guys that are the biggest voices in the franchise that were saying Tua's their guy. So it wasn't going to be really much of a debate. I mean, they wanted to find a way to pay him. They did. And, you know, unfortunately, now you're kind of stuck with it. Now, can you find a way to maybe, you know, fix the offensive line in the off season and add some other pieces to this team, I guess. But, you know, again, we're just still patching up holes. And I think this roster is deeply flawed. And I do think that they could probably use someone else in the GM role to be making the decisions moving forward. But I think you guys got an interesting situation with Brock Purdy, but I will tell you, at least he can win a, you know, big game. So,
again, NFC, though, because when he went up against Patty Mahomes, like Tua Tagovailoa and that Kansas City Chiefs defense, they came up just a little bit short, but that's kind of the story of Kyle Shanahan's career thus far as well. Hey, we appreciate the time, Danny. Just one more for you real quick. You probably saw what Brian Baldinger said, or if you didn't, you saw it somewhere else, but he said it just the other day here on our station. Brian Baldinger, obviously our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, does great work. I think he joins you guys there on the station as well.
I think he joined them this morning, actually.
Oh, wow. So there you go. Sam Darnold for Brock Purdy. I want to get an outsider's perspective on this. Would you do it? And the price point is a big thing for me here, too, because it's one season of Sam Darnold in a good situation. He's got Justin Jefferson. He's got Jordan Addison. And it's been a down year for Brock Purdy, who's Juwan Jennings has been his number one wide receiver. And if I polled America, they probably don't even know who Juwan Jennings is. Would you make that move if you had the opportunity to switch Sam Darnold for a cheaper contract than one Brock Purdy who might make $50 to $60 million?
All right. Well, let me start by asking you this. Are fans on board with Brock Purdy? Because I already get enough heat from Tua fans down here. Tua's fans are very intense and they don't like when you talk bad about him. I don't want another fan base upset with me at this point. So, I mean, are people all in on Brock Purdy, or are they pretty
split? The
Purdy
stands, Danny, have quieted down a lot in the last few weeks during this losing streak. I think his worst game as a professional was last Thursday when they couldn't even score a touchdown. It's been all quiet on the Purdy front, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, look, guys, again, you've been to Super Bowls. You've had success. You've had success in the playoffs. We know nothing about that. So you guys seem to be doing something right up there. I know that this season hasn't been the best, and I know you're dealing with some injuries and stuff, but, you know, it seems like the sample size is decent enough for Brock Purdy at this point, right, to say that he can play at a relatively high enough level. It would seem that the sample size is big enough to me, at least. But, I don't want to tell you to get rid of your guy, have people all upset with me or anything like that, but I would probably ride with what you guys have been doing. You had a lot of success. We don't know anything about that down here in Miami, unfortunately.
Hollywood here. I got one last one here before we get you out of here. And so I first came across the show that you do with Joe Rose about 11 years ago when I was a college kid at the University of Miami. I graduated there in class of 2015. So anytime we get someone from Miami on this station, I have to ask a Miami Hurricanes question.
Oh, boy.
We just saw a quarterback out here for Cal, Fernando Mendoza. He's a Miami guy. He knows Mario Cristobal. He entered the transfer portal. John Mateer, he's off the board. He's going to Oklahoma. Is Fernando Mendoza going to be at the U next year?
I think it's very possible. I know that there's some ties with the father and Mario Cristobal. I know they're very close. I think it's certainly very possible. And hey, look, Miami's got a great selling point now. After being a middling ACC team for a very long time, they got a quarterback that they brought in out of the transfer portal in Cam Ward, who is going to be, he could very well be the top pick in this upcoming draft. And we'll see how things go through the, you know, all the workouts and everything they're going to do. But, you know, to me, that's a pretty good selling point right now. If you're a transfer portal quarterback and you're looking to come in and play somewhere, they're going to have a quarterback drafted really high in the first round, which they haven't had in a very long time, as you know. So I do think that's a possibility. And I think, you know, Miami, again, still has a lot of talent left on this roster. So I think it'd be a great situation for him to come in here.
Well, and thus concludes our University of Miami talking points here on the Morning Roast. Danny, appreciate the time, man. You were too good to us. We kept you a long time. Go out and enjoy Cubano for me, please, because we don't have any of those here in the Bay
Area. Well, get a nap, too. I know you're a morning radio guy, so I know you need your nap right now. So
it is nap time. Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Hollywood.
That's Danny Hollywood Rabinovitz. Courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? So a lot of stuff there. They're down on Tua right now. They're down on Mike McDaniel. But again, their level of expectations are not nearly what the 49ers are. So I get it. It's more doom and gloom here because you're just in a Super Bowl within this calendar year if you're a 49ers fan. The Dolphins, they're not in a position where they're just going to move off of Mike McDaniel into a willy-nilly like that. Not to say that the 49ers are going to do that with Kyle Shanahan, Sam Lubman, and Brock Purdy, but it just gives some perspective, right, about where this 49ers team has been and all that they've accomplished, albeit haven't won a Super Bowl, but the Dolphins haven't won a playoff game, and as you just said, in 24 years.
Yeah, and Spinoni, I've been around that fan base, man. It is hard being a Dolphins fan, because think about it. I mean, for as tough as it is right now for the 49ers with Brock Purdy, watch the language there. I'm curious how many people even get that reference there.
Shout out SpongeBob.
But, it's like Dolphins fans, I mean, think about what they've had to deal with since Dan Marino retired, you know, after that 63-7 beatdown to Jacksonville back in, I believe it was the 99 playoffs.
Jimmy Johnson was his head coach.
It was Jimmy Johnson's last game as a head coach, and what a way to go out. Ever since then, though, they have been staring up at the behind of one Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. And then when Tom Brady finally, you know, ages out and moves on to Tampa and the Dolphins don't have to deal with him anymore, along comes Josh Allen. Now you're staring up at him. So they have just been buried underneath two incredibly transcendent quarterbacks for a quarter of a century now. So the misery of that fan base and the frustration there is at an all-time high, because there is no sport in South Florida that is bigger than football. It is ultimate king down there. Not just pro football, but college football too. They go rabid for the Canes down there. Not just the alumni, everybody. And then, of course, high school football.
The Jacksonville Jaguars, they don't love them down there?
No, you got to go a little bit further north there. Same with the Bucks. But yeah, high school football, it's big too. Miami loves good football, and they love their Dolphins. And it is absolutely, like, as frustrating as it been has been for the 49ers, it has been 50 times more frustrating for Dolphins fans down South Florida.
Well, and I think they're in a way, like, there's perspective here, right? And we're talking about the season, if this is over right now. I mean, their Super Bowl chances are over for San Francisco, but perspective always helps in situations like this, because you know what? The 49ers, they should be thankful that this isn't an open league and there's just one full conference, because if they were in the AFC, that's when I would start panicking with Brock Purdy. Because I do think Purdy is better than Tua. I do think that you can win a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy, as Jerry Rice, as Kurt Warner, as Baldy, as Greg Cosell mentioned. Everything has to be right around him. But if they were in the AFC with Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes, it would just be tough. And I get it. Joe Burrow's not making the playoffs this year. I get it. It's not the end all be all. But Justin Herbert, he's probably going to be in the playoffs. He's having a great season. I know they just lost last week to Tampa. Disappointing loss there. Don't have the talent, I think, on offense to really compete.
He's on a team that's on the up and up.
No, but he's been very good with Jim Harbaugh in his first time as a head coach there with the San Diego, well, formerly San Diego, now Los Angeles Chargers.
Make that slip up.
Still, it's still weird. I don't like it. But they should be thanking their lucky stars that they are not in the AFC. You're still in the NFC. And yes, the conference is getting better. Jalen Hurts is very good. Matt Stafford has won a Super Bowl. Jordan Love is very good. Sam Darnold's having a renaissance season. But, and it's a big but, I don't fear Jared Goff. I don't fear Sam Darnold. I don't fear Jordan Love. I don't fear anyone in the AFC, in the NFC, when it comes to the quarterback play. So that's what I hang my hat on, that I know Brock Purdy can beat Jordan Love. He could beat the Jared Goffs of the world. He can go toe-to-toe with those guys when things are going well. It's when things aren't going well around him. We're seeing this season, it's very difficult to try and be a competitor like a Patrick Mahomes or a Josh Allen that doesn't have the plethora of talent around them.
And I think that's a benefit you have for the 49ers here as we about to hit this break, is that, you know, if you're the Dolphins, if you're Tua, you have to go through at least a couple of those elite four quarterbacks, probably in cold weather, to get to the Super Bowl. And for Brock Purdy and the 49ers, just got to beat one of them. And that's whichever one of those four ends up coming out of the AFC. And I think it's a lot better to have to only worry about beating one of those elite four than multiple of those elite four. And that's why, like, as down as this year has been for the 49ers, I still have faith that there are pieces in the box there down in Santa Clara that you could put together and have this team back up in the contender tier of the NFC next year. It's a down year this year. It stinks. Like, no one likes that. But this is far from the ultimate downfall that Robin Sanbruno predicted at the beginning of this year.
What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Lucky California. More of your calls, more of your texts, 888-957-9570. Reacting to what Danny Hollywood Rabinovitz just had to say in regards to Tua, in regards to Brock Purdy. And I think we're going to pivot a little bit to the Dubs here as well, because they are back in action tonight against the Memphis Grizzlies. Coverage of that starts at 4 o'clock with Warriors Live right here on 95.7 The Game with Willard and Dibs, before handing it off to the voice of the Golden State Warriors, Tim Roy, at 4:30, tip-off at 5, again, right here on 95.7 The Game. Dennis Schroeder making his debut. Let's get our thoughts on that. And is Stephen Curry, could he still be the number one on a championship-level team? Steve Kerr thinks so. I have my doubts. We're going to talk about that on the other side. Spadoni, Lubman, 95.7 The Game.